Take your Bible, go to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28, verse number 1. Thank you, John Orchestra Choir, for lifting us today and helping us join you in giving praise unto the Father. We come to Matthew 28 to share a message that I've entitled, The First Words of the Resurrected Jesus. While you're finding your place in your Bible, I counted back, I think, as best I can tell, the first time I preached on Easter, this is the 50th Easter sermon I preached. Not here, but I mean in my life. And the first time I was at the Pisgah Church where I'm from, and the pastor had asked me to preach, and he said, what'd you preach on? I don't know. I'd love to have those notes. I have no idea what it was. I'd be the only one that'd want it, but I remember Mama bought me a new coat. And I shared with some of you before, and I preached that day in that new jacket, and it had a tag on it right here while I preached. So from that day to this, I've never worn new clothes of any kind on Easter, not even socks, I'm telling you, okay, nothing. I finished preaching a little church, you know, the choir was just right here, and when I finished, the pastor came, and I backed up, Mother grabbed me, and she tore that tag off of that. I still have that jacket, by the way. And I got to the back door, and Miss Wheeler was coming out. There are several Wheelers in that church. I've never told which one it was, but Miss Wheeler came out, and she said, well, son, if you don't like it, you can take it and get your money back. Amen. So I come today, I hope, dressed in the righteousness of Jesus alone. Amen. And but you look wonderful today, beautiful coming in. I've seen two or three guys. I ask them if they put their coat and offering plate, if it'd fit me. But amen. You're glad that you're here on this marvelous good day, the last day of March, as we come to Easter morning. We read in God's Word, Matthew 28, beginning in verse number 1. Reading through verse number 10, you follow along because this now is the word of our great God. Now after the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to look at the grave. Behold, a severe earthquake had occurred, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled away the stone and sat upon it. And his appearance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. The guards shook for fear of him, became like dead men. The angel said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you're looking for Jesus who has been crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, just as he said. That's a good place to say amen. That's good. Come see the place where he was lying. Go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. Behold, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, and behold, I have told you. And they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to report it to his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and greeted them. They came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, these first words of the resurrected Christ passed his greeting, whatever he greeted them. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Go and take word to my brethren to leave for Galilee, and there they will see me. Do not be afraid. When this season rolls in every year, we see articles and people speaking, and now, of course, social media, questioning, did Jesus rise from the dead, or was he just a good man? But resurrection, really? Man from the dead? And so we have to deal with that. One of the best defenses I've ever heard came from a lawyer who had been to jail for lying. Chuck Colson's his name. Chuck was a lawyer for President Nixon, 1972, during the Watergate scandal. They broke into the Watergate Hotel to the headquarters of the Democratic National Convention and stole information. They were put on trial, and Colson was the first one found guilty and sent to federal prison for 7 months. While in his stay, he was confronted with the gospel. He would not get saved in prison, but after he got out, he went and talked to a man. He led him to faith in Jesus, and Colson was gloriously saved. God turned his life right side up. He traversed this country with his ministry in the prisons, and he was a marvelous witness for Christ with a mind like a steel trap. And oh, could he preach? Someone asked him about a defense for the resurrection of Jesus. And Colson said it, and I think said it best. He said the 12 disciples proclaimed it for 40 years without denying that Jesus had risen. They were beaten. They were stoned. They were put in prison and jail. Some even died. And they would not deny it. In Watergate, Colson said, there were 12 of us, 12 most powerful men in the world at that time, and we couldn't keep a lie for 3 weeks. He said, and if we couldn't keep a lie for 3 weeks, how did these men keep the truth for 40 years unless he really did rise from the dead? And Colson staked his life on the resurrection of Christ. Well, did he rise? People always ask, well, there are many evidences for it. I just want to give you 7 very quickly this morning. Just think of this. Jesus, right? Number one, there's the empty tomb. I've been there. Many of you have been. Have a picture of it hanging in my office. The tomb, empty. You say, well, you know that was the one. Well, secondly, there's the sudden change of the disciples. I mean, one day Peter is cussing God, and just days later he's preaching and 3,000 get saved. What happened? The resurrection happened, and the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Thirdly, is the silence of the Romans and the Pharisees. Let me tell you, friend, if Jesus was still dead, all they had to do was drag his body in the public light, and it's over. They couldn't drag him because they couldn't find him. He was seated at the right hand of the throne of God where they couldn't go. Number four, the change from Saturday to Sunday worship. You can worship any day of the week. But through Scripture, we had always gathered on the Sabbath. But now we come on Sunday like today, and the reason that is the primary day is because it's the day Jesus rose from the dead. On the first day of the week, we gather, not just on Easter, but next Sunday on the first day of the week. And then the following, and every time on the first day of the week. Number five is the removal of the stone. It was sealed with a governor's seal. There were guards there. The stone was heavy, and 2 women went, and they couldn't have moved it. This text says something like an earthquake came. An angel rolled it away. The removal of the stone so that we could get in. It wasn't so he could get out. It was so we could get in and see what was going on. Number six, empty grave clothes. When Jesus left, he left the grave clothes. I told somebody this week, I sent a picture. I said, the tomb in Jerusalem was the first transfer portal. Those of you that keep up with college sports. And Jesus left his old uniform and got a new uniform when he transferred out of there. There's the grave clothes. And then number seven, it's the church. Around the world today is the church. I got 2 texts early this morning. I was up before 5 o'clock. So I walked in my office, I'd already had them. There are 2 texts from Romania, one from Dr. Paul Nagrut. He is risen, preach the gospel. About 5 minutes later, Dr. Elijah Sorito sent me a text. He is risen, preach the gospel. My Romanian friends, 8 hours ahead of us, already preaching the gospel. Then we come, the West Coast, and on farther, the church around the world, is proof that Jesus rose from the dead. But Jesus had several appearances. We could look at all of those, but we just see the very first one here. And the very first words have to be very important of the resurrected Christ. And he says, do not be afraid. To Mary Magdalene, the one that they cast seven demons out of, and to the other Mary, he said, do not be afraid, but go and take word to the brethren to leave for Galilee, and I'll be there shortly. I am on the way. I am alive. Fear not. Listen to me, dear friend. Jesus Christ did not die boldly and publicly for you to live timidly and privately. He's calling us out today. Do not fear. I've been to Calvary. I've been to the tomb. I've come forth. And to those two women who carried that word that the angel had already spoken, do not be afraid. First of all, I want to encourage you today, don't be afraid. Do not fear death. Death. The writer of Hebrews says in chapter 9, verse 27, it's appointed to us to die once, and after this comes the judgment. Yes. I was in the home with Brother John. He sits right here. John Dubois does most of our pastoral visitation. John and I went to see a sweet lady. Her husband had died. And we walked in the house, and she said, Pastor, you know, we've often quoted what you say, and we've heard you say it down through the years. He was in his mid-60s when he died. She said, we've heard you say it over and over, but it really became reality this week when you said, when you've lived long enough, you're going to die. Yeah? It's appointed on everybody in here. Listen to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I love this. 2 Corinthians 5, he speaks about our earthly tent, he calls it. In 2 Corinthians 5, you'll see it up on the screen. For we know that if the earthly tent, which is our house, is torn down, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For indeed, in this house we groan. Yes, amen. Longing to be clothed with our dwelling from heaven, inasmuch as we, having put it on, will not be found naked. For indeed, while we are in this tent, we do groan. Yes. Being burdened, because we do not want to be unclothed, but to be clothed, so that what is mortal will be swallowed up by life. Now he who prepared us for this very purpose is God, who gave us the Spirit as a pledge. Therefore, being always of good courage, be of good courage. He's speaking about death. And knowing that while we are at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord, for we will walk by faith, not by sight. And we are of what? Good courage. Don't be frightened. I say we prefer rather to be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord. Amen. Friend, I'm here to tell you death's coming. Everybody in this room. I'll let you in on a little secret. After you have a 70th birthday, you think about it a little bit more. Well, you get to your 80th birthday, 90, you take your pulse before you get out of bed. Some of you say, I never die. Yes, you will. If Jesus doesn't come, you will. I got news for you, dying on the way up. You got to get rid of this body and get another one. Death's coming. And friend, when you die, you are immediately either in heaven or hell. You stand at a great crossroad, and death is the parting of it. Jesus said, come unto me, all you that are weary and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. If you believe on the name of the Lord Christ, you can be saved. Come, trust him today. If you're a child like some of these children, come, be saved today. Be baptized. Baptism doesn't save you. You trust Christ, he saves you, but then you take your stand and you believe that the reason he puts you under the water is because it's like you're buried, you died, and then you're raised like Jesus out of the water. That's the symbol. Friend, you're going to die. I am not scared of death, not one inch, not one 16th of an inch. No. Now, the passageway to get there does concern my soul from time to time. Well, you watch people lie with cancer and hurt, and you think, I don't want to go through it. But when they get to the other side, I don't want to be in memory care. Some people say, you already want to be there. Well, not yet. I'm not looking forward to the passage, but let me tell you, when I take that first breath of celestial air, glory be unto God. I don't scare me not one iota. None. Because Jesus with his blood paid it all, and I've trusted him with everything I've got. Do not fear death. That's what Jesus said. First thing he said, and they go, well, what's going on? He said, look, there's the tomb. That's done. I've dealt with that. Let's go. Death, the last enemy, conquered. Do not fear death. Secondly, do not fear the Romans. Don't fear the Romans. They were everywhere. They had spears and shields. They could take their life. Jesus had taught them in John 16, 33. These things spoken to you so that in me you might have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage. I've overcome the world. Abraham in Hebrews 11, verse 8, heard these words when the Lord was dealing with him. He didn't know where he's going. Let me tell you, be of good courage. There was a guy, one of the deacons this morning, that prays over me. He prayed this. He said, Lord, Paul had 40 lashes, save one. God make us 39 lashes men. Lord God, I opened my eyes while he is praying. I said, say what? I never heard that in my life. That may be a common prayer, but I'd never heard it. Lord, make us 39 lashes kind of men. Do you know today that in Nigeria, the church is persecuted. They have been persecuted for years. And you know when the government comes against the Nigerians? Easter morning. That's the day they come. You think they stay home? No, sir. They flock to the church knowing that their Romans are coming against them. They fear not. Dear friend, we don't fear the Romans around us. You dare not fear the Romans. One of our folks is in a foreign country passing out Bibles, and it's against the law not long ago. Are you a little nervous sometimes? But do you fear? You don't fear. You go. When God calls, you go. You don't fear the Romans. No, sir. That same bunch that screamed, hail him, hail him, days later were saying, nail him, nail him. Those are the Romans that will do it to you. It's amazing what's going on even in our own nation. I thought I'd never live to see a day like we live in today. The way not only the world, but even our own government at times coming against us. It's unbelievable. For 15 years now, there has been, I had to write this down because I'd never heard of it before, the proclamation of the Transgender Day of Visibility. No president had ever signed that until 3 years ago, and President Biden did it, and he did it this time for the third time. But this day of transgender visibility happened to fall on Easter this year. The President of the United States signed a proclamation for today. This is a Catholic man. You'd think of all things he might sign a proclamation about a day of freedom of religion, but no. He signed a false science bill. Her proclamation wasn't a bill. I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer. But I've been to school. And a man can't become a woman, and a woman can't become a man. You can sign all the oaths you want to. You can proclaim till you're blue in the face. I'm a biology minor. I know XX and XY. I don't know it like I know this book, but I got some books. It's false science. That bunch will come against you. But a little boy doesn't become a little girl, and a little girl doesn't become a little boy. I'm sorry. You say, preacher, you just hate the people that are different. No. I got friends that live around me, and their whole sexuality is different. Mine, we're friends. We go out to eat. That wouldn't bother me at all. You see, friend, if you can't have a conversation, but when you come to truth, you've got to stand up, because if you don't, one day they're going to walk in this house and say your pastor cannot preach about that issue. Do not fear the Romans. Let me tell you something about the Romans. Every Roman is going to stand at the judgment of God and give an account. The Lord will not give an account to the Romans. The Romans will give an account to the Lord God. Do not fear the Romans. Do not fear death. Thirdly, do not fear the future. Don't fear the future. In Joshua chapter 3, 30 times the Bible says, be strong and courageous and fear not. And 28 of those are in the Old Testament, 2 in the New Testament. Most of them are in the book of Joshua. Moses has died. Joshua is now the lead dog going into the promised land. And God speaks to Joshua and gives him a promise. And Joshua said to the people in 3:5 of Joshua's book, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Hallelujah. Hebrews 11, verse number 8, Abraham. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place, he was a Baptist, which he was to receive for an inheritance, and he went out. Here's how I know he's a Baptist: not knowing where he's going. God just said, that way. And Abraham said, hey, y'all, we're going this way. Do not fear the future. Your future is not uncertain to God. He knows tomorrow as well as yesterday and delights to lead us where we have never been before. We don't know what's coming tomorrow. Don't fear the future. I got an email yesterday from a company. I read some of their stuff. And it said 10 jobs you could have after retirement to supplement your income. I said, well, I may do that one these days. I read through that list. Number one, you'd be a substitute teacher at a local school. I said, just give me a knife and stick it right here. I'd rather just keep going to deacon's meeting, amen? Second, you could be a Walmart greeter. I said, I ain't got enough pajamas to do that job. I'm just telling you. I had this long list of stuff. I said, I think I'll just keep working. Friend, don't you be afraid of your future. Some of you, you're just about to finish high school, you think. Where are you going to go to college? Don't. God's got a plan. He knows your yesterday and your tomorrow better than you know your today. Some of you military folk say, oh, Lord, I don't know about to get my next orders, and where am I going? God knows where you're going. Amen. You're not going to surprise the Father. Don't fear your future. Some of you looking at a job change. You've lost it. What am I? No, I'm telling you, God knows. I didn't think I'd ever come to this church. I didn't want to come to this church. I've been here 33 years. I was in Texas minding my own business. And this bunch come out there talking. I turned the church down twice. I said, I ain't doing that. They came back. I said, no. Do you remember, some of you old enough, do you remember when they had phones in airplanes in the backs of the seats? You remember that? You could take that thing out, put a credit card in there, and you could call. high tech. You don't see none of that now. So I'm in Garland, Texas, and my phone rings. Joe Pinson. His wife, Darlene, is on the staff here. We've buried both of them now. They've gone on to glory. And Joe, who was, I believe, a Marine, retired, he called me. He said, "Hey, Pastor." I said, "Yeah." He said, "This is Joe Pinson. Pinson, I'm at 30,000 feet, and I'm closer to God than you are." And he said, "Get yourself to Pensacola, Florida." I hung up. I told Liz, I said, "I think we're moving to Florida. I don't know." I didn't want to, but God knew where I was supposed to be. God knows where you're supposed to be. Don't fear your future. If God could put you where you're supposed to be at a time when you're in it, I'm here to tell you, He can take you where you need to be at the proper time where He needs to put you. He knows your yesterday and your tomorrow. Do not fear the future. He delights in taking us where we need to go. Number four, do not fear going public with your faith. Notice what he said right here in the text. Don't be afraid and go. Go take the word to my brethren and leave for Galilee, and I'll be there shortly. He said, "You ladies, Mary and Mary, you go tell the guys, get up, leave the house, get to Galilee. I'm on the way. I'll meet you there." And he met them, and it was there that he breathed the Holy Spirit upon them. He said, "Boys, it's time to go public with this gospel." Some of you, it's time for you to go public with the gospel. It's time for you to go public with your faith. You've been sitting back kind of cowardly and thinking, "Well, I believe in my heart," but see, these kids went public today. Some of you need to go public. You say, "I've been saved, but I've never been baptized." There's some children in this room today that need to walk right down here and take the preacher by the hand and say, "Okay, Pastor, I'll do it. I believe that it's just time for me to go public. You need to come tell me. Ready to take that step, go public." Some of you have never been saved. You never put your faith and trust in Christ. It's time today to go public. You need to get out of the pew, walk right down here. I told you I preached my first Easter for 60 years ago. I was sitting on the seventh row back. Nolan Ford gave the invitation. I came. It was on a Friday, and the following Sunday they put me in that baptistry. It's a wonder I'm alive. There's more rust in that thing I ever seen. I mean, fish couldn't even live in there. I'm telling you, that old nasty back. But I got it. Amen. When it's time for some of y'all to let your light shine. Some of you, where you work, you need to begin to say the J word. Jesus. Jesus saved me. I'm living for Jesus. I'm telling you, there's power in that name. You need to let your light shine. Don't put your light under a bushel basket. Don't put your salt in the shaker. Let's go. It's time to go. It's late in the game. Do not fear going public. On Thursday night of this week, I'll go to Mobile, Alabama, to University of Mobile, where they're having the induction ceremony for this year's Hall of Fame. My college basketball coach will be put into the University of Mobile Hall of Fame Thursday night. I saw it. He doesn't know I'm coming. My son and I, we're going over there and have a marvelous dinner. At least it better be marvelous, what they charge me for those tickets, but I'm going over there. And I'm telling you, friend, God dealt with me when I was a high school senior, all you students. And then when I was a college freshman, he dealt with me about going public. And I said, "Lord, how do I go public?" He said, "Begin to talk to your teammates about Jesus." So I began. I didn't know how to do it. I just started talking. I met Gary Talley. Later, I'd do the wedding for Gary and his wife. I led Gary to the Lord in the front living room of my home. He and another boy. He's dead and gone now. Year before last, I got this text from Gary. He said, you won't believe what they're going to do to me at church tonight. And I thought, oh, Lord, what's happened? He said, they're going to ordain me as a deacon. He said, it all started in the living room of your house. Thank you for sharing Jesus with me. Man, I heard the Spirit of God say, see, if you'd kept your mouth shut, I'd have had to use somebody else. He didn't say he wouldn't have happened. He just said, I'd have had to found somebody else. God's got a plan. He doesn't have to use us. Oh, but he delights to use you. Yeah, friend, it's time for some of you to let your light shine. It's time for you to let the water flow. Your living water out of your innermost being flow. Rivers of living water. I'm over at my house. I'm dealing with a beaver right now. Mean as a devil. Builds a dam every night, and I have to tear it out every morning. I was down there yesterday tearing it out. He'd been hard at work. And I fell in a creek. I don't mean I waded in. I mean I wasn't methodized. I was baptized in that creek. Water came out my ears when I come up out there. And you know, when I stood up, I laughed. The first thing I thought of, I said, Lord, this water is warmer than the water in the baptistry at Pisgah Baptist Church back in 19. And I laughed. I walked up. I was sopping wet. Let me tell you, friend, there's some of you, you've never let the living water flow through you. You got to get in the creek if you're going to let it flow. You can't stay back and say, well, I'll just play it safe. No, it's too late to be safe. Let's go. This culture's building dams along the gospel river. We got to clean them out even if we fall in. God take care of you. It's time to go public with you. Do not fear. Let your light shine. Don't fear. Let the water flow through you.